Restlessly. Restlessly. Snuffing up the sea air.
Sagacious ship's dog will.
In drawing to some barbed
isle.
Declare that a whale must be near.
Soon that peculiar odor.
Sometimes to a great
distance. Given forth by the living sperm.
Whale was palpable to all.
Watch.
Nor was any mariner
surprised when. Inspecting
compass and then.
Dog mane. And then.
Maintaining
the precise bearing of the
odor as nearly
possible.
They had rapidly ordered
the ship's course to be slightly altered,
and the sail to be shortened.
The account
policy
dictating these movements was
sufficiently vindicated at daybreak by the
sight of a long slip
on the sea directly
lengthwise
ahead, smooth
oil, and resembling in the
watery wrinkles bordering it
the polished metal
like marks of some slick tide
grip at the mouth of a deep
stream.
And the masthead.
Call all hands.
Thundering with the butts of three
hand
spikes on the forecastle deck.
Dagu row.
Sleepers with such judgment class.
They seem to exhale from the scup.
So instantaneously they appear
with their clothed
hands.
What do you see?
Cried Ahab, flattening
his face to the sky.
Nothing!
Nothing, sir!
Was
the sound
he
was down to reply. To gallant sails,
stunsails,
below and aloft, and on both sides.
Both sides.
All sail being set, he now casts the lifeline observed
him
swaying him to the main royal
masthead.
And in a few moments they were hoisting him thither, when, while reaching
two-thirds
of the way aloft, and while peering ahead
through
the horizontal vacancy, between the main topsail and the t'gallant
sail,
he raised a bell-like cry in the air.
There she blows!
There she blows! A hump like a snow hill! It is Moby Dick! Fired by the cry, which seemed simultaneously taken up by the three lookouts, the men on deck rushed to the rigging to behold the famous whale they had so long been pursuing. Ahab had now gained his final perch, some feet above the other lookouts. Hashtaga standing just beneath him on the cap of the t'gallant
mast,
so that the Indian's head was almost on a level with
Ahab's heel.
From this height, the whale was now seen some mile or so
ahead,
at every roll of the sea revealing his high,
sparkling
hump, and regularly jutting his silent spout into the air.
Yeah.
To the credulous mariners, it seemed the same silent spout they had so long ago beheld in the moonlit Atlantic and Indian Oceans. And did none of you see it before? Cried Ahab, hailing the perched men all around him. I saw him almost that same instant, sir. That Captain Ahab did, and I cried out, said Tashtego. Not the same. No, the doubloon
is mine.
Fate reserved the doubloon for me. I only. None of you could have raised the white whale first. There she blows. There again.
He cried out
in long-drawn, lingering, methodic tones, attuned to the gradual prolongings of the whale's visible jets. He's going to sound! In stunsails! Down to gallant
sails!
Stand by three boats! Mr. Starbuck, remember, stay on board and keep the ship. Helm there!
Luff
a point! So steady, man, steady.
And steady.
There go flukes! No, only black water.
Black water.
Already the boat's there. Stand by. Lower me, Mr. Starbuck. Lower.
Quicker.
And he slid through the air
to the deck.
He's heading straight to leeward, sir, cried Stubb.
Right away from us.
Cannot have seen the ship yet.
Be
dumb, man. Stand by the braces. Hard down the helm. Brace up. Shiver. So, well met. Boats. Soon all the boats' sails were dropped, all the boat sails set,
all
the paddles plying, with rippling swiftness shooting to leeward, and Ahab heading the yachts. Like noiseless mouse, their light prows sped through the sea,
but only slowly
they neared the foot. As they neared him, the ocean grew still more smooth. seemed drawing a carpet over its waves, seemed a new meadow so serenely it spread. And when the breathless hunter came so nigh his seemingly unsuspecting prey, that his entire dazzling house was distinctly visible, sliding along the sea as if an isolated creature, and continually set in a revolving ring of finest greenish foam. He saw the vast and bald ripples of a slightly projecting head beyond. Before it, far out in the soft, Turkish rugged waters, with the white shadows of the frog, the music was completely accompanying the shape. And behind, the waters flowed over into the moving valley of a steady wind, and on either hand, bright bubbles arose. These were broken again by the light hoofs of hundreds of gay fowl, alternate with their fitful flight, and like to some flagstaff rising from the painted hull of an argosy. And at intervals, one of the clouds, soft-toed fowls hovering, and to and fro skimming on a canopy of fish, silently perched and rocked on this pole, a long tail streaming like pennants. A gentle joyousness, a mighty mildness of repose and swiftness, invested the gliding whale. Not the white bull Jupiter swimming away with ravished Europa clinging to his graceful form.